Mountain Dew Kickstart combines the bold taste of Mountain Dew with juice and just the right amount of kick to start your day. Available in 9 flavors, Mountain Dew Kickstart. It all starts with a kick. Kickstart your day.
When paying any attention, see, that's when it's good. That's when it's fun, is when people show up and you start going, I'm like, I got 1 second. Patrick Warburton is here with special guest John Wolk, right?
Wolk. Yes,
Wolk?
Am I saying it right? Call me Wolk and
Wolky. I'll call you Wolky. I like that.
Thank you.
You are a special guest on my sheet. I didn't put your name on. How horrible is that, John? Yeah. Patrick's here at Copper Blues Desert Ridge. I believe, you're over at the other one, right? Yeah. I don't know where you're at. Desert Ridge tonight and then Tempe Improv tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
Now, beautiful work. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
It's good to have you, man. It's amazing the time that we've spent with Patrick Warburton that we don't even realize. You're everywhere, and then you're kind of like, my God, that's right. That was this. That was you. That, I mean, putty is, of course, every day, twice a day in every city
it's
in America.
It's a national nightmare.
Is it your nightmare? Is it, John, as the special guest that's touring with Patrick, how miserable is it to hear the same putty questions over and over for this man?
It's been 17 years.
What one are you tired of?
I'm tired of, how many times a day does somebody come up to you and want to high five you?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm tired.
And most of it's me.
Yeah. I'm tired of this. The same walkie.
Right.
Tired of he's been tired of me for 17 years.
Yeah, what are you, now, John. You guys are 17 years together doing what?
Yeah, we met on a show that I was helping to supervise for ABC years ago called Less Than Perfect that he was co-starring on.
Okay.
And we became fast friends.
And stayed together forever.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, really.
You know, and I liken it to, I sort of liken it myself as like, it's sort of like stage 4 cancer. Once I enter your life, you have like an 11 to 13% chance of getting rid of me.
You're not going
and
away.
That's what he's enduring right now.
You still 11. There's still hope, though, because that means that the 11 to 13 never fades.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Absolutely. Never
so
say
it
die.
It just lasts a long time. You're not in John remission yet. That's the way it works. Patrick, you're doing this thing called Letters from a Nut, which is fascinating to me because it's live. What you'd think that this would be like a great stage play or something you'd put up on Netflix as a special, but doing it live's got to have a different dynamic every night. You're reading letters.
Well,
tell me what you're doing.
There are there's networks and teams and producers that are interested in putting this on TV. Actually.
Of course,
so we're just having some fun right now. But these letters were penned by a Ted L. Nancy. Now that's his pen name. His actual name is Barry Martyr. He's Jerry Seinfeld's producing partner. They produce Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee together. And, Barry's just he's an old school comic. He's been doing this for years. But he's been writing these books for years, for decades.
Right.
Not books. He's been compiling these books.
Like little essays,
about 9 or 10
right?
books of these. So he writes letters to companies, and companies write responses. And
they're absurd.
And, oh, yeah.
They're absurd. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have one.
Would you like to hear
one? I would
one?
Love to hear one.
Yeah.
Good setup, John.
here's one that said – Here's one that
happens to have one.
I really
John
like
happens
you.
To have one
that
right here.
The transition was
these
unreal.
Letters, they're easy to carry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it travels easy.
So Ted likes his fork. So he'll write to the Good Cook Fork Company. Dear Good Cook Fork Company, I just want to tell you how happy I am with my fork. The Good Cook Fork Company makes a very good fork, maybe the best fork I have ever used, certainly better than my spoon. I use my fork on the following: mashed potatoes, melon chunks, cranberry roll, beets, corn, lettuce, cake. Please let me know that the people who made my fork were thanked. They deserve that. In the meantime, I will continue to use my fork on the following: sandwich meat, pie, pineapple, imitation crab, yams, rice, gumbo. I want to be up to date on other fork designs. Will there be more prongs? Best wishes, Ted L. Nancy. Now, the rep, they'll write them back.
Right.
Because nobody's ever thanked them for what they do.
Sure.
They think that somebody's actually thanking them.
Right.
And they
it's a great day for the
They can't men. Believe
right.
it. Yeah.
You've
got to
respond.
They've got a fan. Dear Mr. Nancy, we received your letter and are very happy you like your fork. I assure you we will thank the manufacturers of the fork. We are always developing new products, so keep your eyes peeled and watch for a new fork. Sincerely, Brett Bradshaw, brand manager.
False promise from the fork people that fork technology is advancing at a rapid rate.
Absolutely.
Just a matter of time before we have brand new fork stuff.
Yes.
That's awesome. See, that's the thing that you don't get. Is like,
and these folks, they don't know whether he's
earnestly,
whether he's seriously enthusiastic, whether he's maybe testing their customer service.
Right.
Maybe he's been hired by management.
Exactly. He could
their,
be a plant.
Yeah.
He
sure, also absolutely.
Be, maybe he's mentally ill.
Yeah, he could have Brent, a manifesto
and,
on
and
him.
Brent, the branch manager, he would call the he would call the manufacturer of the fork and say, listen, do not kill yourself.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
I'll tell you what. I got something for you here, fella.
See, it's such a great idea because you just take people who go through their day, you know, 8, 9 to 5, whatever it is, never hear from anybody. And it's got to be sort of exhilarating to get a letter saying we appreciate you.
Right.
Yes, when you
absolutely.
Just don't. Yes. But at right. the same time, a huge elbow right
well,
in the nuts.
Get a lot,
you know,
get,
it is.
But you guys get a lot of fan mail or hate
oh,
mail
please.
Here, right?
It's coming right now.
Fan slash hate mail.
And sometimes you don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
Like, we
right.
had one that has kind of gone viral because a guy was – ended up being a woman that was kind of trolling me.
Yeah.
But I thought, I thought it was a guy.
We did think it was
Cha-Ching Chavez.
Well, his name was Chavez.
Yeah.
And he wrote, Brady bought a new truck and put it on Instagram, says got a brand new truck, living the platinum lifestyle, whatever. It was just a nice new truck. And somebody goes, must be nice to get a new car every couple of weeks. I ride the light rail 2 jobs a day. And I'm like, this guy. But we turned it into Cha-Ching Chavez. There's now a beer being made locally called Cha-Ching Chavez where we celebrate the finer things. Like, you know what? It is really nice to be able to buy a new car.
I thought they were trying
it's
to do it.
It's not my fault.
Said, it is nice.
Yeah, it's not my fault you got to ride a train to 2 jobs a day. I'm doing all right. Cha-Ching Chavez. So, yeah, it turned into a beer. It's like a thing in town. It's really great. But, yeah, you get
when
these.
When life gives you barley.
Yeah, the
beer.
You got to hop up.
You
right?
got to. But yeah, it's just I love the letter writing thing because sometimes we get them emails from somebody that says in the letter, please respond back to me so I know it's you.
Right.
They're just this weird moment of like, I need confirmation that this mattered.
Right.
And then I'm automatically afraid that their next letter is a manifesto and we're going to have a news story on our hands because that seems weird to me. Like, you have to respond or this doesn't mean anything to anyone.
Sure. In so, day and
is that why all your doors are locked from this one to that
one? Oh, yeah.
You guys have to be.
That's where we're on the second floor. We figure we'll hear it first downstairs and we can escape through an egress up here. But yeah, so what the idea behind this was based on the book, obviously, but then they asked you to read it and do the performance.
Yeah, Barry and Jerry wanted, Jerry Seinfeld, who's, worked obviously with Patrick and his best friends with Barry.
Yeah.
Loved the idea of this kind of coming to life on
because
stage.
Of the delivery.
Well,
and they wanted, Patrick was like their.
Well, we're hoping this one works because someone said, you could just read the phone book, and it'd be funny. And I tried that, and it wasn't.
It's not as funny.
It's not.
This has a little more depth.
I'm hoping that this. I'm hoping this time it works.
Yeah. So you're literally like Althaus.
Right.
Aaron. It's nothing. It is kind of funny, actually. Are you tired of people doing the putty to you? It's got to be like.
Nah.
I still do it around the house sometimes. Like, you get me a drink real quick. And my wife's like, well, you're the one going to hell. Like, it doesn't even make sense, but I just quote you constantly because it's just such a great delivery. Putty was such a strange character, but everyone knows him. We have one in the building.
Well,
we have a guy here who is you.
Oh, really?
God,
a Putty.
Yeah. God love him.
Yeah, he is you.
Yeah,
he's got a drinking problem.
Putty's somebody who's fun to watch from afar, but you don't want to hang out
you
with
don't want to be buddies.
Yeah,
will
you make sure not to introduce
he might wander down. He doesn't know he's Putty.
Because one day
Putty's Putty.
Yeah. A putty would not know he's Putty.
Exactly. A real Putty doesn't know he's Putty. Right. It's
I'll give you an example. One day we're going into a meeting and say, hey, happy birthday.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, his answer was literally, I said to him, happy birthday. And he goes, all right, what's it all about?
I don't know.
Sounds like Putty.
Right.
What's it all about? And I'm like, I just saying happy birthday. It's your birthday, right? Okay. What's the gag? And I walked away going, I have no idea.
And it was his birthday.
It was his birthday. Yeah, I have no idea why that pissed him off.
I
don't get it. I don't get it. What's Holmberg doing? I'm done here. And then he sits down like he doesn't know it, but there's already a guy on TV doing that.
He is Putty. He's like,
he's Putty.
Why do birthdays have to be just on birthdays? Why can't they be a meal? You just made no sense at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you're making a point, but you're not making a point.
Yeah. One of the best stories ever, I had to stop him in the middle. He's like, I was getting a pizza the other day. I ordered the thing, and they don't deliver. So now what? And I'm like, I have to stop here because there's so many opportunities for pizza in the world that you should have. A, it should have never stymied you. B, it shouldn't be a next day story. And I'm just going to walk away from this before it gets any weirder.
Yeah.
And he's okay with that. Like, you can stop and go, this isn't going anywhere. We have to stop this. Whatever. Wow. And he just wanders off.
Whatever.
Whatever.
He's got
to
be doing it
on
purpose.
So, do okay, you want him, if he's listening now, do you want him to get his resume ready? Did he prepare his resume?
I think so. No, he's a good dude. He does a great job. Just don't converse with him.
I got you.
Keep him in a room.
All right.
And then at 5 o'clock.
We're not conversing.
We're not chatting with you. We're talking at you. That's how I always look at it. The show is tonight. You're going to be over there at Copper Blues Desert Ridge, and then, of course, the Tempe Improv on Friday and Saturday, which is great. How many shows have you done so far?
And one.
it was five
shows, one location. Yes.
We did five shows in one location. That was about a month and a half ago.
Irvine
so
Improv in May.
You said that as if I defended you. I feel like I'm talking to a guy down the hall. One. That's a big deal.
I don't get it.
But Robert Hartman, who runs the Improvs, you know, nationwide.
Levity Live, yeah. Saw Bunch the show to, and he wanted to do a national tour with it.
Yes, and so this is our first joint.
This is the first stop
and,
on the tour. How
and
about
the
that?
Great Frank Caliendo's coming out.
Is he coming out?
Saturday yes. night. For both shows Saturday night, he is going to read
the
customer
guest?
Service rep.
I do a podcast with Frank Caliendo.
Yes,
every
we were
Tuesday.
Told
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
Frank and Frank
is, he's awesome. He is a monster.
He's a beast. Comedy. He's great.
And I can't believe he wants to do it. So this is great. Now, normally, you know, the letters, you know, the Inquisitions by Ted are funny. And then you have the responses. But with Fred there, or with Frank there.
he does a good Fred, though.
Yeah. Frank will make the response letters funnier than the initial
idea.
One. So
oh,
I can't believe
it. Oh, no, that's great. No, he's a great friend. So that's awesome. I want to definitely.
And then you say you also are doing some stand-up in there. How many minutes of the National Car Puppet?
Exactly.
Well, that's most of the show runs 90 minutes. About 75 of it is
the puppet work.
Puppet work's
important.
He didn't make the cut. But listen, because we were talking about this earlier before we went on the air. I did stand up for a minute when I was 20 years old, literally for a few months. That was it. And then I never touched again. Now, doing the show, I have to walk on stage, and it's like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of stand up. And, that's a bit of a daunting task. Yeah. But
is it your old material? How about this ragged kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I went to school the other day. I was wearing a bicycle helmet. It sucked walking down the street having to wear this thing. That was like my on the show. That was my early material.
Yeah. You said off the air that you kind of regret not sticking with stand-up. You did some other
because,
stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, now it's a different day and age in regards to entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
And all, musicians have to perform to make money.
Yeah.
You know, they got to go out and play. They used to like do a few concerts and they would just sell their records. So now it's like you got to work for food. Now if you're stand up, that's just something that you got in your back pocket. You can take anywhere with you. You can go up and Davey Spades has been a good friend of mine for years now, and I've worked with him, and he's an awesome dude, and he is an amazing stand-up.
Absolutely.
And he kills. I mean, he makes mint.
Polished.
Because, he's got his Vegas, residencies, and then he can travel with it and do it, and he can just do that whenever he wants to.
Right. You know? And people want him to. He walks in and says, I'm going to do this, and you do it, and it's just, like I said, back pocket stuff. Done.
But the reason I never got back into it for, you know, is I've been busy doing the acting thing for a while, but I have very high standards when it comes to stand-up. And I would never want to be a stand-up if I was just to be a mediocre
an average.
You know, right. And the guys that are really good eat, drink, and sleep this.
Absolutely. And you've hung out with the best. I mean, Seinfeld, Larry David, the guys over at Family Guy. I mean, the people that do, and I mean, you know, not that's a stand-up, but I mean, the stuff that you create is based on a stand-up mentality.
These guys are smart. They're great. And like I said, they eat, drink, and sleep. And that's right, you know, and I need writers.
Yeah. You need help.
Just ask this guy right here.
Let's be honest.
I'm not.
He needs writers.
That's enough right now.
This is why you've had cancer with you the entire time. It's your curse, but it's also a blessing. But how much did, over the last few years, and I'm not even sure the date at all kind of slowed down, but like when Family Guy, like the stuff would come out, there had to be times where you guys we're going to get killed for this. I mean, day in, day out, you had to read lines as Joe and think, even before the whole meltdown of PC everything and more correctness, you had to think to yourself, I'm done.
Well, We knew it was the nature of the show. It's satire. It's offensive. And there seem to be different rules that apply to animation and that style than not. And, you know, and across the board. I mean, look at Jeselnik right now.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's it. If anybody walks out and says, well, Jeselnik said something offensive, well, then you're at the wrong show, you know.
But did you ever worry that Patrick Warburton's brand would be harmed a little by something that was on there? Like, I can't say this. Like, this will come. Or is it always just going to go back to Seth?
You know what? Listen, I love Seth on the show, and I know what I signed on for. In 20 years, there's only been one instance where I just read something that I found was so offensive. I can't repeat it.
I can't repeat it.
And I had an issue with it. You know?
So passive aggressive.
So, you know, I mean, I wasn't like, you know, I'm not like, you know, the guy who used to be on South Park who was a Scientologist and I'm not going to do that. Yeah, that's not me. Look, I signed on and I've done things on that show that are borderline blasphemous. I grew up very Catholic.
Borderline?
Well, listen, my parents.
Touch upon it in the show, because his mother, his parents, very religious.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And they participated in a letter writing campaign that was started by the Parents Television Council and a number of other ones to get Family Guy off
your
the air.
Parents did?
Yes. Okay.
And so what did they say to you?
So we, they can't, but they think he's going to hell. They can't believe that he did it. They're mortified.
Well,
and we touch upon it in the show.
I don't know if they think I'm going to hell, but they do believe my soul is in peril for being on a cartoon. Then once again, I have to remind them this is satire and just, you know, but. You know, they.
That's great.
You know, they get all their things and they're with their groups. And their letters
what was the sit down with Mom and Dad and Family Guys going on here? How did that face to face go?
Well, I don't know if we've never had a discussion.
Really?
Like a sit down discussion. I know their feelings, you know, mine. We've had discussions over the phone. I mean, you know, my father, God rest his soul, he passed away about 2 years ago, but he, he called me one time and left a message on my phone. He just called up and he said, because they would get they don't see the show. They just
hear the details, right?
You know, through their groups or whatnot. Patrick, in a future episode of Family Guy, God is sitting in a lazy boy chair next to a bottle of lotion, getting ready to masturbate. I wish you would get off that show. Click. You know, and just,
but he keeps watching it.
No,
week
he can't.
After week.
No, he doesn't watch it. He's hearing about it. And when you hear about this stuff out of context,
it sounds terrible. Yes.
And all I wanted to say to Dad, which I even couldn't at this point, but was just, Dad, you know, God is not some old bearded guy like you sitting in a lazy boy chair. It's just satire.
Yeah, he's goofing.
I don't think God cares.
What if God was one of us, essentially, as he's Joan Osborne-ing the entire situation, right?
Well, you know what's interesting? And
cue the music.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be right back.
You know, Seth had a seat on one of those planes in 9/11. Yeah, out of Boston. And he was hungover, and he didn't make the flight. His whole set. And he could have actually gotten on the plane. So I'd ask my mother, I go, Mom, God hates this show so much. How come Seth was the one he spared?
That's right. Oh, man.
Well, only the good die young, dear. And he's trying to save him. Like,
she spun that.
Yeah.
He's letting
Seth, you know, spend the next 20 years leading people astray. Is that God's plan? Is that it?
Where do you stand now as a religious person after being around all that? Did you go
astray?
As I say,
I go, look, spiritual, but not so religious.
If that's how you want to characterize the Church of Scientology, then I'd say if you say spiritual and not religious, but he joined.
Is that true?
Scientology. Yeah, he's
you're a Scientologist.
He's operating.
This is not true.
None of this is real.
You were started some weird.
He's operating Thetan level 7. He's right under David Miscavige.
How bad would it be if it was like, oh my God, me too? And then you feel like the biggest dick in the world, right?
Want to get away?
That's a great want to get away.
Southwest is offering great fares to destinations of your choice. Want to get away?
Dude holding the meters.
Did you insult Scientology?
Yeah. Want to get away? You.
And I'm not a Scientologist, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn.
Patrick Warburton.
Did you have brother and sisters?
I have three younger sisters. Yeah.
And how do they play out on that stuff? Because usually if your parents are giving you the hardest time, like sometimes my sister will give me the hardest time more so.
Oh, no.
My
sisters and I all get together and I'm like, oh, my God. Do you believe what mom? Well, that's mother for you.
It's fun though. It's as great, as yes. you get older, you realize they've always been crazy too.
Yeah,
that's the fun part of getting older. Like my parents never really knew anything either. I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, you thought you were being overlorded by geniuses who never made mistakes, and then you turn 20 and you're like, no, they're idiots too.
Everyone has their own Kool-Aid.
This is that's all right.
But there is something very comforting in a blanket about that. All in your youth, you feel like you're protected. God's got us.
We got that. We got mom and dad. They never make mistakes. No. They've got this higher power, dude. Listen, we're good.
We've got it all figured out.
There's nothing wrong with putting eight kids in the back of a station wagon unrestrained, right? Going down the highway.
I remember back when I was in grade school that there was a naysayer in regards to that one of the kids in school did not believe that there was a Noah's Ark. Right. And I remember looking at him going, what are you, an atheist?
Yeah, you're so dumb.
So dumb. Of course there was a Noah's Ark. They found it, by the way.
Yeah. But they won't let him bring it down.
Right. Yeah.
How dare that
it's
kid
way
even
up there on Mount Ararat. What they can't.
It's tied
what
up in red tape.
What are you, an atheist? You know?
That thing's over 9,000 feet up. Yeah. Can't get to those heights.
And then
heights.
He breaks it down. But if there's 300 rooms, what kind of... How many animals were there at that time? How many breeds?
I find it all hilarious because it's just like, again, you just the older you get, you realize everybody's an idiot, and you just keep moving forward and try not to trip over your own self. Yeah. And
you just want to go through life being less of an idiot than they are.
Exactly.
And that's how you make your way.
But we do things so differently now. We've got four kids. They're not kids anymore. They're 26, 25, 21, and 18. That's my kids.
Yeah.
And they're all doing great. And I kind of let them all know right off the bat when, you know, they were probably 4 or 5 years old that they were really starting to just comprehend just a little bit that daddy's an idiot.
Don't listen to
We're not going to whip you with a belt. We're not going to tell. We're going to try to communicate and we're going to try to figure things out together.
Were your parents strict?
Very strict.
Yeah, it was because the whole talk, like I don't understand the whole talk to my kid thing. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have kids, but I always see people like, well, I just confronted him and I told him, and then the kid and my friend who's I grew up with, his kids will come in and go, this is a bunch of crap, Dad. And like, I mean, not crap. They're like effing this, effing that. Right. You don't treat me with any respect. And I'm like, good Lord. Yeah. Drown him first. Just put him in there. Waterboard that child. There's no way. And he's like, no, we have to just go talk. And I'm like, man, I don't get that. I kind of wish it was my life growing up.
Yeah.
But at the same
time.
The
things that kids say now.
Oh, my God. They've got all the juice.
So disrespectful to their parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in such a litigious society that you can't smack them
you
around.
You can't hit them like you
know,
used to.
As much as I want to.
But we also talk the fact that we heard that when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Parents saying the same thing. These kids,
I can't imagine what the
– Right. You're right. Talking about hippies. Right.
All the time. But
what were the beatings like 3 generations ago is what we're saying.
It
would be unbelievable.
Right.
It's the easiest time in the world to be a kid. Just think about it.
What would happen around the holidays? The kids, would you go with the family, like if they're going over there at Christmas or something, did they have to go to mass with grandma and grandpa or anything like that? Or how did that work?
Oh, well, no. It's a bunch of, you know – it's a lot of lies, you know.
Yeah.
Of course we all went to church today.
Yeah.
They lived out of state.
What was the sermon, dear? Well, it was something about, you know, cheese. God in a mountain.
He came down with some tablets.
Yep. Yeah. It wasn't an Old Testament reading today. I know I was at church.
Patrick Warburton is at the Copper Blues at Desert Ridge tonight doing Letters from a Nut, and then tomorrow and Saturday. You got Frank doing both tomorrow and Saturday?
Just Saturday.
Saturday night?
Two shows Saturday night.
Great show.
7 and 9:30 with
Frank. Not to dismiss you, John.
No.
Are you a special guest tonight?
I do a little thing in the show that's mortifying.
It is.
Embarrassing.
Good.
Neither of us wanted me in it.
We're trying
but
to lose
Barry
it.
Barry Martyr, who wrote and directed it.
Demands your stay.
Yeah. It's the most painful, embarrassing moment of the show.
It is. But you know what? Barry Martyr can't quit me.
Yeah, that's right. So good. Yeah. So you get out there.
One of these nights, I'm going to walk out.
Never.
You know?
Everybody needs a little walking.
I'm going to say, Patrick, take this job and shove it. I ain't working Copper Blues Live no more.
It's perfect. Well, I'm looking forward to this because this is different. This is something absolutely different to do up on the stage, and I can't wait to see it because it's going to be great. And especially you add in the mix of live audience and everything. If you discovered in your one night that it was like, well, we rehearsed this 1,000 times without an audience, and I didn't expect this.
Well, we didn't rehearse it 1,000 times.
No.
We kind of jumped right into this.
No kidding.
Yeah, and But it is fun, and I think people will enjoy it. And one of the fun things about it is that even in like in the 10, 15 minutes that I do sort of before it, it's all real. You know, a lot of comics get up there and go, so I did this or this happened or that happened. It's all jokes. They're all stories. They're all fabrications. Actually, everything that I talk about is genuine, actual
parts. The herpes are real.
Of my life. Right. Yes.
It's real. Unbelievable. It's Patrick, real. It's so real sad.
Right. Yes. It's so brave.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be great. And it's this weekend, so you want to roll out there and see it. And what one question do you not want to hear from anyone after the show? What's the one question you're tired of?
Can we get our money back?
Oh, that's,
yeah, that's a good one.
You know, that's often.
Tired of that question.
Anything I do, often asked that.
I'm tired of hearing it.
Yeah, you've done one night. You're already tired of that question after one show.
Oh, it was brutal. I can't tell you how many givebacks we had to do that first night. Yeah.
Is there one you're tired of doing? That's great.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Is there one thing you're like, just don't ask me that? We'll set it up. The people won't do it. We'll make a pact today.
No, you know, in regards to any like
any
Seinfeld references or whatever, that's a show that's in perpetual syndication and it's always, you know, going to be there.
Right.
And you embrace that.
Okay.
You don't, you know, if I let.
But yeah. One has to scratch at you more than another. And maybe it doesn't bother
you. You're not at the level like, is it Tom Wilson?
Man, he loses his mind.
You know, oh, my God.
Don't talk about Back to the Future with that guy. He'll hit you with a guitar.
He's such a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, so funny, but.
Yeah, he's done with
it. I think I've even done that to him. Like at a comic guy, like, boy, that Back to the Future. That's just, you know, it really is the smartest written, you know. It's genius. It's genius. And you just watch him nod his head like, yeah, I love talking about this.
I got Jack Squat from that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to take him down the bitter road, too, though.
Hey, I didn't get paid anything doing Seinfeld.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Putty got jilted on the deal?
No. You know, look, I was doing guest spots, and I was recurring.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was about $3,000 an episode.
No kidding.
That's not nothing, but when you, you know, take nine episodes and you put
and
that
no
together.
And no syndication? Little bit.
Little bits here and there, you know, but it's...
Well, let's put
it this way. His mailman has a sore shoulder from carrying all those residuals.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's a good one, John. Listen.
They come... they're about 30 cents.
Yeah.
Like 30 cents.
That's what they do, They come
and
they spend more time and money with
printing
postage and printing.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, Patrick Warburton, this weekend over at Copper Blues Live, Desert Ridge, and at Tempe Improv, leave us with words of wisdom. Something the world can walk away saying, Patrick Warburton taught me this.
Don't take the belt to your children. I love my dad. My dad was a great man. And he was a surgeon, and he even went down to Mexico and took care of the kids with the polio down there. A very good man. But you know, fathers that from that generation, you know, were very strict disciplinarians.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, I think that always would have a negative effect because then it creates rebellion. And you know, and a bit of a chasm between you and your father. So, you know,
and you are the brunt of the belt because your sisters probably didn't.
They
did.
They took a couple shots.
They took a couple shots.
But you had to
run the chops. They deserved it. It was a different time.
But didn't it get to the point where he could just say, "Reach for the belt," even though he's not doing it? He's like, "I don't want any part of that."
Yeah,
it only takes.
Then psychosomatic tears and all the fun from the belt reaching. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Don't hit your kids with belts. That's great advice. And I hope there is someone out there that does say, you know what Patrick Warburton taught me today?
Yeah. And by the way,
I'm going to stop doing that.
There's one guy putting it away right now.
But I have to also say that, you know, everything's not just, you know, black and white. And,
sure.
And like, you know,
sometimes belts are brown.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you.
But I bring that up. But my father's a good man.
Yeah,
I love my dad.
Oh yeah, no, my dad wouldn't get away with what he got away with. I'd never say he abused me, but there was times where it was like, my God, you'd be in jail so fast today. It's ridiculous just for putting your hands where you
put.
See, I was the one that physically abused my parents.
You were a small
people. Elder abuse.
They must have been tiny.
Yeah, they
must have been very tiny.
That is a weak family.
Very small, but they call it elder abuse now. But yeah, it was like my parents were like Rhea Perlman and Danny DeVito. So I ran the house.
I'm going to ask
again.
I'm
taking your car.
Yeah.
I'm taking your wallet. I got a date.
Like your Scientology joke.
That's
really? Those you're are your parents for real? Because that's believable. I might buy that.
You don't buy it?
I think,
you're not buying
I think
it?
I might actually eat that
right.
one up.
Maybe I'm embellishing just a bit.
Patrick Warburton this week in Copper Blues Live, Desert Ridge, and the Tempe Improv, along with special guests John Walk, Frank Caliendo will be out there. Pick a day. You're going to have a good time. Thank you, guys. A pleasure. Thanks
Thank
for getting
you.
Up early and doing this.
Great
it's 98
here,
KUPD.
Guys,
Big, red, and badass.
It's the natural way radio should be. 98.